Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the letter of James, the first chapter. You must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget. They put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. The word of the Lord.
So today we begin this worship series on pilgrimage, inspired by the Camino de Santiago and the letter of James. Last May, as many of you know, I walked the Camino de Santiago in Spain. I walked the last 129 kilometers, which is 73 miles, on the Camino Francés, which means Camino from France. And over the 4 weeks of this sermon series, I'm going to be sharing with you some of my experiences, some of the things the Camino has taught me. I was blessed to share this experience with two others, with Ginny, your leadership chair, who joked that her job was to get me on the plane to come home, and my good friend Teresa. I first heard about the Camino, it was at least 20 years ago, maybe more than 20 years ago, and I have wanted to do it ever since. It has been on my bucket list. When I heard about it, I heard about long walking every day, carrying a pack with all your stuff and sleeping bag and everything, and then you stay in these big dormitories with bunk beds and you have a bunk to yourself with 40 or 100 other people, blisters on your feet and bad weather and grumpy people. And it sounded rough and difficult and beautiful and transformative, and I wanted to do it. 20 years ago, I looked it up, 24 years ago, 94,000 pilgrims arrived in Santiago in that year. Last year, 500,000 people arrived. So the Camino has become much more broadly traveled. When we arrived, we were one of three of almost 2,000 pilgrims that arrived that day in Santiago. As we go through these weeks, if the Camino captures your heart and you think this is something I want to do, I'm going to be leading a group tour on the Camino this coming May. So you would be welcome to hear more about that. On September 14th, we'll have an info meeting about what the costs are and how you could prepare and be part of that group. We'll do that since so many here in the church have asked about it, and it would be open to others as well, so it's something you could invite others to. So you can keep that in your back pocket. The Camino de Santiago, also in English, is the Way of St. James. There's actually many Caminos to Santiago from all over Spain and Europe. The one I walked on is the most common, the Camino Francés, and it is from France. If you can see the yellow, it's from southern France all the way across northern Spain to Santiago. Santiago, there's a cathedral and a tomb, and tradition, a legend tells us those are the bones of St. James the Apostle. Now, historians don't know for sure if those actually are the remains of St. James the Apostles, but historians are sure that this pilgrimage route has been used since the 900s at least. So over 1,000 years, pilgrims have walked this trail to Santiago. Pilgrimage is a journey to a holy place. It's a journey that requires sacrifice, exertion, endurance, and it's a journey that invites personal transformation and religious experience. Pilgrimage has long been a spiritual practice. Jesus took a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. In Islam, a pilgrimage to Mecca is one of the five pillars of Islam. Pilgrimage isn't such a tradition here in the United States, but in Europe has long been a tradition. In the Middle Ages, the three pilgrimage sites were Jerusalem, Rome, and Santiago here. So pilgrimage is a journey, and it is holy. It is physical and spiritual. And while there is a destination, the journey is the point. The journey itself is sacred. Spiritual maturity grows not from rushing to a destination, but from walking faithfully, step by step. Jesus called the disciples to come and follow, to come and follow, not rush, step by step. And then they went on a journey together. And the journey was the point. Each one of us is on a spiritual journey. And we've heard the call to come and follow Christ. And our lives are the journey of following Jesus. Walking the Camino was a concrete physical journey, and it helped me reflect on the spiritual journey I have been on. The Camino is a pilgrimage to a specific destination, Santiago, the burial place of St. James the Apostle. In Spanish, James is Iago, and so St. James is Santiago, so that's why Santiago is the way of St. James. James was one of those fishermen called by Jesus early in the Gospels. He was one of three who joined Jesus going up the mountain and saw Jesus transfigured. He saw Jesus heal people. He was there when Jesus fed the crowds, the thousands. He heard Jesus teach over and over. He was there in the upper room when Jesus shared the Last Supper. And so going to the burial place of St. James physically feels like this direct connection to Jesus. In my mind, the earthly ministry of Christ has always felt like a long time ago and far, far away. But to come close to the burial of an apostle is physically one degree of separation from Christ. And that is meaningful. One of the discussions that comes up around pilgrimage is what makes you a real pilgrim? Some say on the Camino, you're only a real pilgrim if you walk the whole 500 miles straight, which of course eliminates any working person, that you have to carry everything on your back, and that you go with a spirit of sacrifice and self-deprivation. Others say any walker on the way is a pilgrim, regardless of what you carry and how much you sacrifice. Because it is a long walk. It's sort of like the discussions I've heard about what makes for a real Christian. It's the discussion of what is central and what is peripheral. And perhaps pilgrimage, like all things transcendent, defies definition. On the pilgrimage, the shell is the symbol of a pilgrim. I have my pack down here with the shell that I got. In medieval times, people would walk to Santiago and then 6 days more to the coast and pick up a clam shell. And then as they walked back, because the Camino was not one way, then you went home. And at that time, walking was the way. Carrying that shell was your sign that you had completed your pilgrimage. And it is still the sign of the pilgrim. So wearing it on your backpack is a way of naming yourself as a pilgrim. And it's also the symbol used on all of the markers that show you the way. Today, with 500,000 people showing up in Santiago every year, the economy has grown up. So there are cafes along the way to stop and get food. There are, places to stay. I was noticing as we got to mile 10, 12, 15, more and more signs of taxi service. And there's also luggage transfer, so for people who want to carry a day pack and not carry everything. I carried my stuff. I had my backpack full. It was important for me to carry my stuff as a spiritual matter. But I admit, we didn't stay in one of those big dormitories. We stayed in a pension, which is like a one-star hotel with a private bathroom. I ate out a lot, so I didn't carry much food. When I started planning, thinking, okay, we're going to do this and we need to get ready, at that point, I did not know if I could physically do it. Walking 10 to 15 miles a day carrying a pack. That was more than I could do a year ago. And so I put together a plan of getting ready. I didn't know I could do it because last year I had both knees replaced. As you helped me through that, it's a horrible surgery, slow recovery. You helped me through it. And I didn't know would I be able to go that far, would I be able to carry a pack. So I was doing my physical therapy and put this preparation plan together, and like each week, we did a walk every week, and it was a little longer and a little longer, and I was doing great, and added the pack, and that was good, and then started adding weight, and that was good, and then carried a pack over 10 miles for the first time, and I had problems. And it wasn't with my knees, it was with my ankles. I had this rash around my ankles. I thought, well, that's weird. Thought it was a fluke. Happened again the next week. It turns out it was like a friction rash or a heat rash or something. So I had to try different socks and try different, lotions and stuff. If I'd walked over 10 miles without a pack, that was fine. I had walked under 10 miles with a pack, that was fine. But over 10 miles with a pack, things changed. And so I got it figured out, which was pretty smart to do on this side during preparation, not there, where I couldn't have just bought new socks every day and tried to figure that out. But everything was looking good. I was able to walk that distance and carry a pack, and I'd figured out the ankle problem, and I was still nervous. It is one thing to take one long walk and then rest for a week. But to take a long walk and then the next day get up and do it again, I was nervous. So the day arrived, we were there, we're walking, and I discovered that I could do it. In fact, the fear I had, I'm calling it nervous, let's be honest, it was fear. The fear I had was nothing like what the actual experience was. It was okay. I thought it would be so difficult, and it was okay. When things got difficult, and they actually did, I slowed my pace. When things got difficult, we stopped. We had something to eat. We'd read that taking your shoes off was important. I thought, really, is that important? Turns out, yes. You take your shoes off for an hour, and you get a second wind. And so the Camino sent me home with many lessons. And I'm going to be sharing some of those with you as we go along. As you leave today, we have cards with those lessons that the Camino taught me that I invite you to take home with you. One of them was, expect that you can. Even as I was feeling nervous about being able to do it, I was reminding myself, I did all that good prep, and I can carry a pack, 14 miles or whatever it was, and make it just fine. And then I thought, half a million other people do this. People well into their 80s do this. So I'm having my talk with myself. If they can do it, you can do it. But it wasn't until I was there that I knew I could. And I have felt that way on the spiritual journey. When the spiritual journey feels like faith asks too much, and will I be able to do it? That instead of expecting failure, we remember that we never walk alone, and we can. That God always gives us the faith for whatever our spiritual journey asks of us. Over 100 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. We make fear big. God always brings it down. In the letter of James, which we heard, we are told to be doers of the word and not only hearers. That in this series, as we're going to go through reading the letter of James, I'd like to tell you, James was a really common name at Jesus' time. And so the letter may have been written by James the Apostle, or it could have been written by James, son of Alphaeus, or it could have been written by James, the brother of Jesus, or it could have been written by some other James. We don't know. The letter begins from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered outside the land of Israel. Scholars don't know who wrote it, which James wrote it. But whoever wrote it, it's a good one. And we get to be inspired by it these weeks. We must be doers of the word, not only hearers. Our faith is lived in action. Unless we're in a coma, we are doing. We are living lives. And being a follower of Christ means that we live differently. That we put the message of Christ into daily practice. I love the way James correlates being a doer of the word with remembering yourself. He says, we look in the mirror and we remember when we are doers of the word. That to hear the word of God and do it is to look in the mirror and remember who we are. Sometimes when I was younger, I thought that following Jesus meant like muscling up the willpower to mold myself into something I wasn't. And in fact, being doers of the word is to courageously relax into that energizing power of being truly, authentically who we are. Putting the word of God returns us to ourselves, putting the word of God into practice every day, becoming ourselves. And the journey is the point. Now, I'll tell you, I've heard all this stuff. I've heard about being doers of the word and the journey is the point and the spiritual journey is a daily practice. And it was one thing to know that. And it was another thing to walk it. And that was powerful for me. Because the journey is the point. That faith is not, as I've heard it said, learning the secret handshake into heaven. Or as a pastor friend of mine calls it, it's not fire insurance. That faith is that daily walk with Christ. And it's different. Physically walking it, putting one step, one foot in front of the other, and walking step by step helps me remember the spiritual journey. And some of those steps were beautiful and easy. Like a flat, when the flat path through trees on a cool, sunny day. Some of them were difficult, like first thing in the morning when the legs had stiffened up a little and it takes a bit to get going, or at the end of the day when my legs were just fatigued. Sometimes the path was difficult, like this. So this is at the very end of the day. I'd walked 15 miles. And at the end, you go down a steep hill. Not like a nice, gentle hill that's easy to walk down, but a steep hill that's like hard, like almost as hard to walk down as to walk up a steep hill, and over a bridge. And then this is the last bit into the city, and there is this giant staircase. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. This is the staircase into Puerto Marin. And so I walked up to those stairs, wondering if I had anything left to get up those stairs. And I did. I got up those stairs. It helped that bed was on the other, up the top. That helps you get up them. In pilgrimage, we discover that the journey is the point. And we discover that we can expect that we can. We are going to have open space, and you get to do a little tiny mini pilgrimage yourself. So I'm going to invite you to get up and walk around so that you have that step foot in front of the other experience. And these are the questions I invite you to think about. Where have you grown most deeply, not at the destination, but along the way? What does it mean to be doers of the word on the road of life? And what trials are shaping you right now?
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.